was just thinking. We're still at the Absanio Conference. Last night at the bar, seems that we had a really dramatic conversation and argument about phonetically saying things.
We did, yes.
And it had to do with the Appalachian Mountains and you saying that I was saying it wrong and it's Appalica or something like that.
Appalachian.
That's just not
right. It sounds weird. I know. I mean, like, we say weird things. We're in the South, so.
No. It is Appalachian. Appalachia.
Also, do you remember the other word?
Obviously not. I guess that was.
Mischievous.
Mischievous?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Nobody says mischievous.
I know. I'm just saying, phonetically, you know, again, we live in the South. We can say things however we want to say.
There's a whole reason that we're doing this, because we're joined now by Meredith Van Sambeek. And, you know, he is now with Agroxine,
yes.
Golly. See, I was trying to phonetically do this thing. Agroxine. There we go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just been a bit confusing to me. And, you know, I look at stuff and get cross-eyed. So Agroxine with Meredith Van Sambeek. That is a little bit of a mouthful, Meredith. You know that.
I assume it was a form of child abuse, but I didn't figure it out. It took me 5 years to get out of kindergarten because I had to be able to spell it all right.
I got you. I understand completely. You know, you get some of these things. I seem to have gotten in trouble in a former life over the name Novartis and trying to describe that to people, too. So, yeah, I got that. So I forgot where I was going with that, but it was coming back. How do you say mischievous?
Mischievous.
See there, I'm telling you, you're wrong.
That's fine.
I mean, who have you ever heard say mischievous?
A lot of people.
Like who? Name them. Okay. Where are they from?
Just like professors, teachers, that kind of thing. I mean, a lot of people.
Hey, you know what? Those people think they're smart, but if they were so smart, they'd be making what 19-year-olds in college football and NIL were making instead of the $50,000 or $60,000.
Well, that's
making.
Also true. But
okay, so you know,
I'm just saying,
just because they say it doesn't mean it's right.
Agree to disagree on that, because you can say it however you want, but phonetically things are correct one way. Again, we live in the South, we can say it however we want.
Agroxine.
As long as you say that right, then we're
that's
good.
That's it. Agroxine, yeah. I think I've got it now.
We're good.
Yeah.
I speak South Dakota cowboy, so that's not even a language that's recognized in the South
either. It sounds pretty good to me. I don't know why it wouldn't be good to you. All right. So, Meredith, tell us about what's going on with Agroxine.
Okay. Well, kind of a little bit of history. Agroxine is owned by LaSaf. LaSaf is a 170-year-old fermentation company out of France. We've been making yeast-based products since the 1850s, and basically we're the largest biological fermentation company in the world. 3 out of 10 loaves of bread in the world are made with our yeast. Actually, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, we have a plant where we're making 30 semi-loads a day of yeast products, gold ethanol, beer and wine, cheese industries. You know, Red Star yeast that you see in a grocery store shelf are all some of the products that we're working with in the market.
So you between beer and wine and, you know, bread, you named three, and cheese, you named four of my favorite things.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as you can tell by my size.
Well, I mean, that's the nice thing about the fermentation business is because, you know, the Streptomyces is very adaptable type of thing, and we're be making products through fermentation that goes into women's cosmetics, livestock feeds, human biologicals, probiotics, that type of thing. So, I mean, the Agroxine, the ag group, is really pretty small compared to what LaSaf does globally.
Gotcha. So, Meredith, you've been with us at IPSA many times in the past.
Yes, sir.
So what are you doing here today, and what are you talking about for all our independent seed companies?
Our biggest thing, and I'm going to have another gentleman that's going to talk about our seed-applied biologicals, but from my standpoint, we've got two products that are very interesting in the fact that we've got a product that is a stress mitigation product. It can be put on corn anywhere from V4 to tassel, and we like to give it a ride with something else, so whether it be with a herbicide early or with it be a foliar fungicide at tassel. What it's doing is helping hold kernel set on ears, and on soybeans it's helping hold blossoms and pod set on soybeans. So in general we're picking up you know, 5 to 10 bushel on corn, probably 3 to 4 bushel on soybeans with that product applied at that right stage when we're in that flowering process.
So that is just a foliar application that you can tank mix in with anything and when you're going to spray over the crop.
That is correct. And we're basically trying to say let's do a ride with something else that the farmer's already doing, but it's been out in South America for like 11 or 12 years. We really haven't found a compatibility issue with it with anything, but it acts as a spreader sticker and helps hold that product on the leaf. And then when you get dew at night, it helps rehydrate that thing to help get some of those particles further moved into that plant instead of just staying on the leaf surface.
So it's as an additive like that, it can really be done when you're already doing an application, just as an add-in. And most people are going to add in a spreader-type product or a sticker-type right. product on everything else they do.
Yep, and we're not saying, you know, don't use that adjuvant type of product, mm-hmm. but we're basically saying that we're seeing it have an enhanced effect. It's a very heavy product, so if it's being sprayed on aerially, it helps move those droplets down into the canopy so they don't blow away in the wind as well.
Well, shoot, very good. It sounds like something that everybody could take a look at that is involved in production at all or that is talking to their farmers out there.
Very true, and I mean, it's part of a conversation where we basically need to figure out ways to help these guys increase their yield without increasing their cost significantly. Last year down in Texas, we put this product on corn at Tassel. We got 10 bushel. We put it on cotton. We got an extra 300 pounds of lint to put on at first flower. So,
wow.
I mean, the dollar return on cotton, even though cotton's, you know, 68 cents, you know, you put on 300 pounds of extra lint, that's $180 real quick.
Well, one of the things that I know is being talked about a lot is optimization of inputs.
Yes.
Just from that standpoint, to exactly that, we need to be able to increase yields without increasing costs, you know, and find a way to do that. And when you can reduce costs if you can do so without hurting yields. But there's no question that the optimization of inputs is really becoming an important aspect of what every farmer's got to consider, especially when, you know, we're at that point again on ag commodities where it's looks bad.
It's not a lot of fun out there. These guys got a lot of fixed cost in land and equipment, mm-hmm. and so now they're looking at trying to squeeze those variable costs every way they can to try to make a cash flow go from red to black, and it's not very easy for those guys to do that in today's commodity market.
Well, it sounds like we got a good opportunity with Agroxene, though.
No, that we do. And the other nice thing about that product is it's also OMRI, so these guys that are organic that don't have a lot of options on some of those things, this product is also OMRI approved, so it gives us an opportunity to work with all growers out there, not just the traditional farmer that's raising commodity crops.
Perfect.
Another product that we have that's kind of a spinoff of this is actually a foliar fungicide that is approved as well. And it's just the yeast cell wall. So it's not live, it's not active, but it turns on the plant defenses. The plant thinks it's being attacked, so it turns on its natural defenses, and that helps prevent the ultimately, the infection with various other fungus types of products, you know, the gray leaf spot, you know, soybean rust, some of those other crops as well.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Meredith Van Zembeek with Agroxene. I said it right.
You got it right, Todd.
Oh, there we go. I'm telling you. Practice makes perfect. Phonetics. You know, this one works. Mischievous does not. Or no, mischievous does. Mischievous does not.
That's fine.
Hey, Meredith, we appreciate you being here. And, man, we appreciate your participation with the IPSA so much over the years. And glad to see you again.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me on for a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Have a wonderful day.
All right. Have a great one.